is conditional use number 2188, Donovan's Painting and Drywall LLC, in care of Jose Sandoval.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a contractor's office and storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in Bing and Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.69 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the south side of Lewis-Georgetown Highway Route 9, approximately 187 feet west of Church Street. The 911 address is 32454 Lewis-Georgetown Highway, Lewis. The tax parcels are District 334, Map 5, Parcel 205.01 and 208. Staff would submit for the record a staff analysis and exhibit booklet, a site plan, the results of the DLDOT service level evaluation, comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, and we also have one letter in opposition. That letter is from Latoya Weatherly, and her concerns are regarding traffic. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Carmen Burke.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. For the record, my name is Shannon Carmine Burton. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Sergovic, Carmine, Wideman, McCartney, and Owens. I represent the applicant, Donovan's Painting and Drywall LLC, who's applied for a conditional use of land in an AR1 district, and that's for the purpose of constructing a contractor's office and storage building. And this is for an existing Sussex County painting and drywall business known as Donovan's Painting and Drywall LLC. Also in attendance this evening on behalf of this application are Jose Sandoval. He is the member and owner of Donovan's, and Ken Christianberry, professional engineer with Axiom Engineering. We have submitted exhibit booklets in advance for your review and consideration. Those exhibit booklets include copies of various documents in support of the application, as well as proposed findings of fact and conditions. Donovan's is an established and well-respected painting and drywall contractor. This company was originally launched by Mr. Sandoval in 2007. Donovan serves customers from Dover, Delaware to Ocean City, Maryland with all of their painting and drywall needs. The current office for Donovan's is located on Coastal Highway, Rehoboth Beach, Sussex County, Delaware. Mr. Sandoval purchased the two parcels in 2018, hoping to relocate and expand his existing business in order to more efficiently provide painting and drywall services to meet the needs of this growing construction industry in Sussex County, as well as the Maryland beaches. At this point in time, I would like to introduce Ken Christianberry to provide an overview of the proposed conditional use and site plan, and then I'll conclude the presentation with a brief summary of this project's compliance with the comprehensive plan. Ken?
It's turned on.
It might be turned off.
It's turned on.
You break it, you have to pay for it.
Oh, no. Should have bought an extra. Government procurement procedures. Okay. Make sure of that. Good evening. Ken Christianberry with Axiom Engineering. What you see before you is the site plan. Is this the... let me go ahead and put up this whole slideshow that we had put together. Do you have that one on here?
Let me do it.
I will let you do it. That's the book, and we have one called slideshow. There you go. Thank you very much. This is a land that's probably familiar to most of you. This is the Five Points intersection. Anyone who's lived in Sussex County for any period of time certainly is going to be familiar with that. Subject properties are these two parcels right in here. It does have frontage on Route 9. We are a stone's throw from Church Road. On the opposite side of Church Road, the Board of Adjustment approved a case for a homeless shelter 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, this body and the County Council approved a conditional use for a material sales and storage for a landscaping supplier that is a construction site in this 2018 satellite photograph, and it's now an operational material. Stokely Materials is the company that's there. So this is an area that does have some commercial activity, and that trend is certainly continuing. This is the state's level strategy, state strategies for state investment map. The entire area is mapped red as a level one area. Which was not too surprising to me. The county's new comp plan has mapped this as a coastal area, which is an area that Shannon will get into the particulars of what's in the comp plan, but light commercial uses are shown as appropriate in the coastal areas of your comp plan. And then the zoning map here shows that the entire north side of Route 9 is zoned C1 general commercial. We are these, and these two parcels in here, and we are just over 100 feet from a conditional use that's a pretty intense commercial use, and there was an approval for a homeless shelter in the opposite direction. The parcel does consist of 0.7 acres when you combine the two. Of course, this property line would be abandoned in the development of the property. This is what the area looks like as of 2018. The property does have a fair amount of vegetative cover on the property lines, and our site plan has shown to try to leave as much of that intact as possible. We know that often, especially if we were on a cleared property, we would put up a privacy fence right on the property lines, and we actually think in this case that might be a detriment to the neighboring properties because some of these trees that are on our property would end up possibly being cleared. So this is what it looks like looking to the south from the property. This is the dilapidated house that actually our surveyor found to be encroaching onto the property. I don't know if you saw that on the survey. I don't think they're going to be too upset if we ask them to remove that or if we remove that ourselves. The property is in the background of this photo. Then, of course, there's other commercial uses very close by Ace Hardware. This is all the parcels on the other side of Route 9. And then you get to the parcels that are on the back side of the property, which is Beaver Dam. So all of these are on the opposite side of Route 9. You can see it's a pretty open, pretty developed area. And then on our side of the road, we have a few doors down a transformer station. Then this is the landscape supply company, a couple residences. And then you get to the subject properties, which is here and here. And then another residential property. And then this is Church Street. And these are the Beaver Dam properties. Property consists of 0.7 acres when combined. The proposal is for a 2,600 square foot contractor's office and an 1,800 square foot storage building behind that. That would require 13 parking spaces. We've provided 14. Central water will be provided by a private well. We don't have central water available. It's not too far from the property, but it's not available. The county does have sewer on the property already. One loading space is required. One's been provided. And this is what the site will look like on development. So the idea is outside of the parking areas, these trees here that are shown up on this plan are all the existing trees. So the idea with these trees would actually remain after construction.
Christian Berry, can I just interrupt you just
certainly
a second? One of the, in fact, this is the only disadvantage to having everything on the iPad is sometimes you can't make it big enough to read something.
Am I moving too fast? What would you like to see?
Yeah, the setback line, I'd like to see the Del Dot right-of-way line, the setback line, and I'd like to know what the distances are. I mean, it looks like you've got some figures written in there, but
right.
I couldn't read them.
They are small if you don't have them on an engineering print. This line right here is the Del Dot right-of-way. And then Del Dot's going to steal 10 feet of property from my client when he goes in for a site plan. So this is the dedicated right-of-way line.
Yeah.
And then Del Dot's going to steal another 15 feet in the form of a permanent easement, which is this dashed line right here. Sorry about my cynicism, but I'm just being honest. they don't really pay for that property. So the front 25 feet of my client's property will be under Del Dot's control when he's done. The front setback is 40 feet in. And it's right here. It's 50 feet from the existing right-of-way, 40 feet from the proposed right-of-way.
Okay.
The parking spaces, we're not including any in the front setback. We know that the commission discourages that. We're going to ask Del Dot for permission to use the existing driveway. I think that's probably, they're not always quick to do that, but we're certainly going
to
ask
for
that.
I just wanted to see what the situation was and what mm-hmm. it would be post-development. So they're getting another 25 feet.
Del Dot? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they get theirs.
They're going to need it.
They have a 60-foot right-of-way. Their target is an 80-foot right-of-way, which is 10 foot from either side. And then the 15-foot permanent easement is something that I'd say in the last 10 years, they've pretty much started requiring that 15-foot permanent easement everywhere. And often they want things like sidewalks or shared use paths, but there's an existing sidewalk on the frontage of the property already, which we would probably just leave in place.
Can they put a travel lane on an easement?
I don't think so. They're going to need to own that in fee. But that sort of is like a placeholder, though, if they never ever need to come back and acquire.
They keep you off of it. They're not going to buy it till they have to. Yeah.
And if they buy it, all they're going to have to worry about is a bike path instead of somebody's house or a business or.
And typically, you see the multimodal paths in the fee.
So we have not gone through a DelDOT entrance approval process, of course, at this point. But there's a fair amount of standing woods that are going to be able to remain. These will probably need to come out for stormwater management. But along this edge, a lot of those, of course, are off the property. And if the commission wanted a privacy fence there, we could do it. I just don't think it enhances anything when you look at the photographs or if you had a chance to visit the property. This dilapidated house would probably be removed. Again, it does encroach onto the property. It's a pretty simple use. It's not pushed out to the edges of the property. We're trying to be sensitive to the fact that there is still, although it's transitioning to commercial, it's not entirely commercial today. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Shannon, unless you all have more questions for me. What's that? We did just see that letter from the neighbor that was concerned, and just so you know the context of where they are in relation to this project. They're located on Beaver Dam Road, and they're not actually adjacent to this project. So these two parcels that are outlined in purple here are where Mr. Sandoval wants to build Donovan's painting and drywall, and the parcel, the homeowner here is the one who wrote in a letter concerned about what was happening tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Ken. Sure. The proposed office use of the property is a permitted conditional use under the zoning code, and it is consistent with the purposes and goals of the comprehensive land use plan. Again, the property contains approximately 0.7 acres of land. It's located on the south side of Route 9, which is classified by the Delaware Department of Transportation as a major collector road. It's approximately a third of a mile west of the Route 9 intersection with Route 1 and 5 points. It's located in the AR1 district. Conditional uses allowed within the AR1 district include, among other uses, residential, business, commercial, or even industrial uses. This property is opposite an existing C1 general commercial district, and it's also close to the Delmarva Power Substation. Basically, the area generally is a mixed-use area that includes both existing residential as well as commercial uses. There are several conditional uses approved within a one-mile radius of this property within the past decade, including Stokely Materials. There's another one for equipment storage and home office for a landscaping business. The homeless shelter was a special use exception, but I think it was approved as a conditional use for a distillery as well.
Correct. That was first, and then the homeless shelter, which then was overturned.
Oh, it was. And then also two approved conditional uses for multifamily housing units. Thus, the approval of conditional uses over the past decade evidences a recent and growing trend of more intense land uses in this specific area. 2019 comprehensive plan future land use map indicates that the property has the land use designation coastal area, which includes areas around Rehoboth Bay, Indian River Bay, and also Little Assawoman Bay. The plan provides that the coastal area is a growth area, but of course additional considerations should be taken into account in this area that may not apply in other growth areas. Surrounding land areas to the north are coastal areas and highway commercial areas. Surrounding land uses to the east and west are coastal areas, and the surrounding land uses to the south are coastal areas and mixed residential areas. In addition to residential uses, permitted uses in the coastal areas include retail and office uses, such as Donovan's proposed use. The plan further provides that appropriate mixed-use development should be allowed. and that careful mixtures of homes with light commercial, office, and institutional uses can be appropriate to provide convenient services and to allow people to work close to home. Thus, the proposed office and storage use is an appropriate, it's a compatible use in the coastal area. And as Ken had indicated earlier, in addition, the state strategies for state policies and spending map classifies this property as being part of investment level one. The state's intent is to use its spending and management tools to maintain and enhance community character, promote well-designed and efficient new growth, and to facilitate the redevelopment in investment level one areas such as this. Prior to Mr. Sandoval's purchase of these two parcels, there was a single wide trailer that was maintained on the property. It's no longer there. Donovan's proposes to construct a stick-built trade-off contractor's office consisting of 2,600 square feet, as well as a pole building, which will consist of 1,800 square feet, and that would be used for storage purposes. Thus, the use proposed will enhance the community character and facilitate the redevelopment of the property in this investment level one area as intended by the state. Donovan's currently has 18 employees, only three of which are on site and manage the office operations. Donovan's engages subcontractors as needed to meet the needs of the construction industry in Sussex County. Business hours are currently 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and this is at his Rehoboth location, and 7 a.m. until 12 p.m. on Saturday. He proposes to provide 13 parking spaces and one handicap accessible space, so therefore 14 total spaces to access the office building, and then a loading space for access to the storage building as well. Materials will be stored in the proposed storage building and will be accessed via the proposed loading area. As Ken stated, sewer services are proposed to be provided by the county. Central water services are not yet available, but a private well is proposed on the property, and there are no wetlands on the property. As Ken stated, there is a natural forested buffer around most of the perimeter of the property, and although Mr. Sandoval is willing to remove that buffer and install a privacy fence, prefer to preserve that natural buffer, and as Ken had stated, we do think the removal of the natural buffer would be a detriment, but of course if that were a condition, Mr. Sandoval would obviously comply with that. There will also be appropriate lighting on the property for security purposes, screened down, of course, so as not to impact any of the surrounding uses. DLDOT determined that the traffic associated with the proposed use was negligible and therefore did not require a traffic impact study. Thus, the proposed use will not have any adverse impact on neighboring properties or the surrounding area or uses. It'll simply allow the relocation and expansion of an existing Sussex County business to enhance its ability to efficiently provide painting and drywall services to the construction industry. And for these reasons, and based on the record and this presentation, we respectfully request that the Commission recommend approval of this application, as the proposed use is a permitted use under the zoning code and it is consistent with the purposes and the goals of the comprehensive plan. We, of course, are available for any and all questions that you may have, and we thank you for your consideration of our request.
All right, we thank you. We'll see if there's anyone has any questions for you. We'll start with Ms. Stevenson.
Well, I do have a few. So how does this business run? What is the traffic going to be like from this?
Mr. Sandoval?
Introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Sefran Jose Sandoval. The traffic, it's probably be light. It's in the morning. Sometimes we meet in the morning, and it's in the afternoons a little bit.
Customers coming and going. It'll just be your guys coming, picking up their stuff and leaving.
Yeah,
for the
they
day.
Just pick it up, materials, and they just go do the work and then just come. But there's no people come to. Once in a while, like, you know, they come to the office too for questions, but let you know. Yep.
Okay. And so that the parking places would be taken up by your employees?
The parking place?
The parking spots. Your employees would be parking
yes.
there. That's what they're
yes,
there for.
Yes, we try to leave the truck.
Okay. And then on the parking lot, was that a paved parking lot, or is that going to be a rubble type?
Paved.
Paved?
Blacktop?
That's what you'd like, is?
Yes.
That's what you, that is what you prefer, a paved, paved parking lot?
I think it would have to be, it's more than 10 spaces.
Over 10 spaces.
Okay.
Okay.
No, actually, if it's over 10 spaces, it just has to be marked.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, we should change that. Okay.
I was gonna say, I was fine, actually, with it not being paved, just so that one less place that's hardscaped in Sussex County for runoff and, but if you're doing paved, paved it is. So, okay. That's all I had for now.
Strauss?
So, in regard to the parking spaces, you'll have, you have, there's, I guess there's three items of parking in my mind. You have customers, and then you have employees, and then your, the vehicles that they're driving. Do they drive the vehicles? Do they own their own vans or pickup trucks that they paint out of, or do you own them?
They have their own cars, and I provide the vans for work. So they can, they normally lead the cars in the office, and they got my van to go do the work.
Okay, so you have, how many vans do you have?
Seven.
You have seven vans?
Yes.
And, how many employees?
18.
18 employees. How many of those employees drive their own cars?
The seven, the 18, like 16 of them, they got them, they ride, they're like, they're family, so probably, we're talking about eight people, they got their own cars.
So maybe eight cars pull in there in the morning, and they drive out in seven vans?
Yes.
So pretty much, when they pull the cars in a park, all the parking will be used?
Yes, very much, yes.
And then throughout the day, you'll have six or seven parking spaces available for customers and activity?
Yeah.
Do you see grow, do you see yourself growing?
Like, if I see like growing more?
Do you see the business, do you see hiring more employees?
Not at this moment.
No, just kind of keep it level like this?
Yes.
And you say that the hours that they work are 7 to 7?
Yeah, we try to be like 7:30 to like 5:40, depends, sometime a little bit late. Every day is a little different, but.
So 7 to 7:30, they pull into the yard, or they, or they're on the job site?
No, they come to the office around 7:30, and they start the job like around 8:00.
Okay, so as long as, so they don't need to pull into the drive, because we're kind of strict about that time, so it's important that we understand and that you ask for what you want.
Yes.
So I wouldn't want you to ask for 8:00, and the guys come in at 7:30, or, you know, or 7:00, and with that being kind of a, still some residential.
Yes.
I mean, 7:00 is probably a good, 7:00 is probably a good start time.
That's what we try to, 7 to 7, so be safe in our side.
So if the guys, if you're shooting for 7:30, and some people come in there a little bit early, you're still good?
Yeah, that's what I.
If you say 7:00?
Yes.
Good, all right.
That's what you need.
Yes.
That's perfect.
Need 7:00.
Yep.
Okay, and then until 7:00, and did you say Saturday, 7 to 12?
Yes.
7 to 12.
So are the guys, are they pulling in at 11:30? Because if you say 7 to 12 on Saturday, and they're driving out at, you know, 12:30, that's kind of,
Yes, yes, we can.
You're good with 12:00?
Yes.
You don't need one? Okay.
1:00?
Yeah, let's do one then.
One, okay.
Just in case.
Let's do one.
Just in case.
And then, where do you store your, how do you handle the storage of paint?
My storage? Right now, we had on the back in my office, they wanted one. We keep, you know, some drywall and some paint that we use all the time. And that's it, we got there in the office, it's in the back, it's a storage too.
Is there anything unique really regarding, is there anything unique about how you have to store the paint?
Yes, we keep ladders, scufflings, and, you know, like tools.
I mean, like, does it have to be in a?
You're concerned about temperature controls and the condition of the paint?
And fire?
Does it need to be temporary, temperature controlled to store paint?
Not really, we try, in the winter time, we try not to keep it, you know, under, yeah.
Keep it on. I don't think there's any specific like down record.
I know from an insurance standpoint, that the insurance guys are, for me, are always, they're concerned about that, but anyway, okay.
I think they said in the information that everything's stored inside though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
think that's it. I think that's all the questions I have. Thanks.
Okay.
The question I have was concerning the storage. So everything will be stored inside the building?
Inside.
Nothing on the outside?
Nothing on the outside.
Okay. That was the real question I had. Thank you.
Mayor?
Well, I know the final decision's up to DelDOT, but I've got concerns with using the existing driveway. Where it's two, is one going to be an entrance and one be an exit? And
if they approve it. And oh. If they approve it, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know.
If DelDOT were to approve it, we'd have one be an entrance and that one the
well, being that close to the intersection at Beaver Dam Road and Route 1 with the traffic backup created by those lights, I just think a single entrance like we see on the satellite five lots west would be a lot more efficient.
Right.
I think the two could be confusing.
I would be surprised if DelDOT would have
I advise Mr. Sandoval that.
That's my only
concern. We can ask DelDOT, but I didn't tell him that I could promise that DelDOT would be willing to go there.
Yeah, I suspect it's going to be a commercial entrance, just like Stokely.
It may end up looking exactly like Stokely.
Yeah. This is a conditional use application. We would have the authority to make that a stipulation if we felt strongly enough about it.
You could, right? About the one versus two.
No doubt that's got the jurisdiction.
I mean, we'll see, but the point is that,
that's all I have.
Okay. There were two other things. Okay. The sign, do you need a sign?
Yes. Proposed 32 square feet.
Oh, so you
right?
Proposed, yeah. Okay.
And saw that information.
And I like asphalt. When you have cars driving in and twisting and turning and it's raining and they're tracking out on Route 9, I think asphalt's the way to go.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Whitehouse, anything?
None for me, thank you.
Okay,
none, thank you.
Counselor?
None for me, thanks.
All right then, folks, take a seat nearby.
Thank you.
We'll see if there's anybody that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2188, Donovan's Painting and Drywall LLC, in care of Jose Sandoval? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2188? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2190, Stephen and Helene Falcone.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.26 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the northwest corner of Beaver Dam Road and Church Street. The 901 address is 17662 Beaver Dam Road, Lewis. The tax parcel district 334, map 5, parcel 212 and 213. Staff would note for the record there's a staff analysis, the results of the DelDOT service level evaluation, and the results, comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, and there is a site plan that was submitted into the record. Thank you.
All right, we thank you, and I take it that you're here representing this application.
Correct. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Colette Monahan. I'm an attorney with Wolf and Associates. I'm here.
Excuse me, you are an attorney?
I am.
Is that right?
I am. Hey,
are you admitted to the bar in the state of Delaware?
I am.
Do you have a bar number?
6567.
Okay. Well, we will have our counselor will
just
verify.
To be clear, this is something that it's a tradition of planning and zoning that goes back decades.
Okay.
Every time a new attorney shows up, she's like, oh my goodness. Well,
I was like, nobody told me I had to bring anything special.
Well, whenever anyone alleges to be an attorney, we do our best to confirm that they actually are.
Yeah.
Mr. Robertson will take care of that, and we're going to let you proceed on a provisional basis.
Don't worry.
I even have my bar card with me if you'd like to see it. I have that.
Good for you.
That is priceless.
I keep it with me all the time, just in case. I'm glad that it came in handy tonight.
And so I want to say this just to reassure your clients that this is just an old standing tradition we started doing just as a way for us to bust up the lawyers. And
thanks for that.
It's a lot of fun.
Because well, initiated the plan.
Initiated.
It makes you feel any better. You know, I'm not a lawyer, but I did pay for somebody to go to law school.
That is a lot of work in and of itself.
Yeah. It is. currently practicing in Wilmington.
Oh, wow. Good for her. I left that life. Anyway. I am here representing Mr. and Mrs. Steve Falcone, who I have with me here tonight, who are available to take questions and provide any additional information as you see fit. As previously indicated, I am before you requesting a conditional use to be granted on an AR1 agricultural residential district to be used as office space for the Falcone's accounting firm. I wanted to briefly, if I may, just give you a description of the property so that you have a full picture of the land at issue here. Again, the property does contain about 0.26 acres of land. There were two parcels of land that have since been consolidated. It was 212, 213. It's now one parcel. Currently, there's about a 525 square foot dwelling on the property, and there's a bunch of dead overgrown trees and shrubbery, and then there's a vast open lot. Across the street, there is a planned unit development, and there's a bunch of dilapidated buildings in the surrounding areas. So pursuant to section 115.22, it's our opinion that the AR1 and AR2 districts explicitly allow for businesses such as an accounting firm contemplated in this application to be permitted as a cultural, or I'm sorry, as a conditional use. So really the question is whether allowing this use on this site, does it further the purposes stated in section 115.19, which is to protect these agricultural lands from the depreciating effect of objectionable, hazardous, and unsightly uses, and to prevent untimely scattering of more dense urban uses. In a nutshell, the primary purpose is to protect agricultural lands and to minimize the impacts on the county's agricultural natural resources that any permitted use can have thereon. This site is well removed from any agricultural lands that this section seeks to protect. In fact, it is separated from the nearest agricultural tract by a planned unit development by about a third of a mile. Impact on natural resources sought to be protected are limited, if any. They would be tapping into the county water and sewer system. No well would be drilled. Any future impervious parking surfaces will most certainly remain within county standards and limits. Additionally, the Falcones have significant plans to greatly improve the plot with some major landscaping. They would tear out the old dead foliage and replace it with new trees and shrubbery that would line the edges of the property, bringing in natural resources and improving the overall aesthetic of the area. Currently, the Falcone's accounting firm has 4 employees with regular business hours between 8 and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, and Saturday hours from 8 to 12 upon request, specifically during tax season, as you can imagine. They anticipate a de minimis volume of traffic between their employees and clients. Excuse me. Most of their work between clients is done electronically. If clients have to come to the office, they're there maybe 2 or 3 times a week. They just drop papers off and leave. They do have plans of displaying a sign for their business. They are not 100% certain the dimensions of said sign. They do a guarantee that's not going to be some mammoth, overly sized, obnoxious sign. There would be a modest, small spotlight shining on it at night. And that's pretty much it. I again just wanted to reiterate that this use is allowed on this district, on this site. The overarching purpose of the AR1 district is to protect agricultural lands and the county's natural resources. The planned unit development, as I previously mentioned, is the nearest, separates the property from the nearest agricultural land. This use for an accounting firm on this site furthers this purpose by having virtually no impact on nearby farmland, with the closest being more than a third of a mile away. There's minimal impact on natural resources and a minimal impact on current traffic conditions in the area. The accounting firm is of a public character, as they do personal and business taxes, payroll, and bookkeeping. However, the possible impact to the neighboring properties is extremely minimal. And while the value that they would bring to the community is great. With the Falcone's plans of significantly improving the plot with a landscaping overhaul and a tasteful upgrade to the currently situated dwelling, The effect of granting this conditional use is far from what would be considered an objectionable, hazardous, and unsightly use. So that concludes my presentation. I thank you for your time. We would be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
All right, well, we'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Stevenson.
So are you, it looks like the entrance is coming off Church.
It is.
And are these parking, the proposed parking, is that in the setbacks?
I believe that the proposed parking is within the setbacks, yes.
I don't like that.
No. Well, they're, honestly, if you wanted to come up, Steve, they're kind of open to whatever the county permits as far as the parking stalls go.
Hi, I'm Steve Falcone. The plan, if the zoning board would allow, would be to have parking out to as close to the street as possible, because you are looking to enlarge the building some.
Right. They might disagree with me, but I don't want parking in the setbacks just because there's a lot of road construction that's proposed in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So, how many parking, Janine or Janelle? I'm losing my mind. No, you know how many parking spaces they would be required to have?
Give me just a minute, and I would note. Based on their site plan, the proposed building is going to need variances because it's the proposed site plan. The proposed building is within the setbacks. Yeah. Is actually yeah. over.
And we acknowledge
three
that
out of the four setbacks.
And we acknowledge that, right. And that's going to be like a separate
so
issue.
I think it might be difficult to actually provide parking.
Well, I want to clarify for everyone that we are not approving a site plan.
Correct.
Right.
Okay, this is
right.
not a site plan approval.
Oh, thank you.
This is a conditional use for a given piece of land. It will be up to them to figure it out, whether or not they can even do what's on the page here. I mean, clearly there are issues that would present themselves, but
they would need six parking spaces.
Yeah, and I think as Ms. Stevenson points out, it has been the policy has been to discourage parking in the setback. We have permitted it in certain situations. Typically, that happens when it is already happening on that street. You do not have that situation here, so. I would encourage you that if you're successful with your application, that you would share that with whomever does your final site design.
But tonight's not really, tonight's about the conditional
tonight
use.
Tonight is
right?
just about the conditional right. use. The question we're answering is whether or not that parcel should be used the way that you're asking to use it and under what conditions, because we do have the ability to place conditions and stipulations on it. Which we most assuredly will do to some extent, but they really won't typically don't govern volume and so on. That's all governed by other provisions in the ordinance that you'll have to comply with if you want to do something different than what's out there now. So, but tonight's just about the conditional use.
Right.
Okay.
And actually, you did a lovely presentation about what the use would be, and we're good to go for me.
So, you mentioned something about the size of the sign, but if you want a sign, you're allowed up to 32 square feet. Would you want it lit?
Yes.
They wanted it lit at night, just a small spotlight.
Okay. Yeah, that is a pretty busy. Alleyway that may you know certainly need to be widened at some point, but I don't think I have any further questions.
Okay. All right, Ms. McGee.
I have none.
Mr. Mears.
I have none.
And Mr. Whitehouse.
None for me.
Okay, Ms. Cornwell.
No, what? Thank you.
Okay, Councilman.
Just on, and I know we're not talking about site plan, but so the proposed two-story dwelling, actually, Janelle, do we have the site plan on there?
We don't.
Okay. So looking at it, there's a proposed two-story dwelling, which is like 42 by 26, I think. And then it looks like it overlays the existing dwelling. Is that correct?
So it looks like the existing dwelling is about 34 by about 15.
Right.
It looks like they're going to expand that to be a square, so it'll be 30 and a half feet by 34 feet, and then do another addition in the back, that would be 26 by 42.
And then it says sort of along Beaver Dam, it says proposed, is the whole thing going to be paved? Is that kind of what you...
Are you talking about the parking area?
Yeah, well, it looks like the whole thing's proposed to be paved as concrete. I just wanted to...
Well, concrete, no. Either stone or blacktop.
For the whole...
Yeah. I didn't ask that question either.
That's not necessarily a conservation district issue, yeah, because they're going to have to deal with stormwater management.
Yeah, I would...
Again, they're calling this just a working version.
Well, yeah, right. I think we really need to disregard the site plan altogether.
No, I know. I knew what we were talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I see what we're talking about, but you can't do what is being suggested here. It doesn't conform to any...
Recommendation would be, because it looks like... Consider consulting with an engineering firm, besides just a surveyor.
Okay.
If the commission and ultimately, because county council has to approve it,
right?
You know, that you might want to deal with an engineering firm that also does surveying work, or see if this particular one also does engineering.
Okay.
Because you're going to need that as you go forward, because there is going to be lots of change to this, and Sussex Conservation District is going to have a lot to do with it, and so is DelDOT and...
Right.
A lot of things that I don't think necessarily were taken into account on this drawing. So.
That is a good summary. And of course, you do know that this is a two-step process. We make recommendations.
Right.
And when you have your hearing in front of county council, you can have additional exhibits, different exhibits. You can have whatever you wish to present to them because it's a separate public hearing.
Right.
So at least you would have a little bit of time to consult with somebody between now and then. So
okay,
anything else?
Just one question. So there wasn't a letter in opposition on this one?
No.
And this is kind of next door to the one?
Correct.
That opposed the other one.
Yeah. Interesting. One in opposition clearly stated the other condition.
Yeah, no, I was just,
Well...
This one has water available to it, but the other one doesn't?
It might be where the water is, and again, they are on different roads.
I think there is a water main that runs down Beaver Dam, tide water.
Yeah, we're tied in.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, any more questions? Commission? All right, if you take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here with an interest in your application.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2190, Stephen and Helene Falcone? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use to 2190? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. Congratulations on your initiation to planning and zoning. You passed with flying colors. You may wish to remain with us for the rest of the evening, see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.